Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, the basket is here for you to come and take crosses. You can come up after the homily and have a cross if you didn't receive one already, so that we can all be waving our crosses in joy and celebration throughout the liturgy. Not that you actually have to be waving it, but we are all joyful today because this is an incredible feast in the church. This is Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And I know for our parish, we have a special joy, an incredible joy. I feel like we should all be out in the street dancing and waving palms, doing a procession down Walker Road for a few miles. It's such an incredible joy that God has granted to us. And everything is in God's providence, so we heard this epistle reading today, which how could it not be for us? It says, "Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand." Now, we're also taking on an incredible burden as well, this work of building a church. And so St. Paul speaks to us the Lord's words, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is where our hearts and minds need to be, is in Christ Jesus. This great feast of Palm Sunday is a little break from the fast, not a complete break, but a lightening of the fast, because we have joy this weekend, and then we enter into Holy Week. We're preparing ourselves for what lies ahead in Holy Week. And so this feast stands as the doorway to Holy Week. And today, all of the city of Jerusalem is triumphantly in joy, with excitement and anticipation. They're in uproar. And there are a small segment of people that are grumbling and complaining. But in just a few days, the city will be in uproar saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And don't imagine that that's just a separate group of people from the people that were celebrating his entrance into Jerusalem. Out of the same mouths that were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," those same mouths were saying, "Crucify him." It's shocking, but we can't understand it fully unless we understand that we ourselves are the same. St. Theophan the Recluse says, "Who did not meet the Lord when he triumphantly entered Jerusalem as a king? And who did not cry out then, 'Hosanna to the Son of David'? But only a few days passed, and the same crowd with the same tongues cried, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' An amazing change. But why should we be surprised? Do we not do the same thing when upon receiving the holy mysteries of the body and blood of the Lord, we barely leave the church before forgetting everything, both our reverence and God's mercy toward us? We give ourselves over to self-pleasing deeds, at first small and then large, perhaps even before a few days have passed. And in so doing, we are saying, 'Crucify him.'" You see, we cannot understand the resurrection of Christ unless we understand the cross of Christ. And what happened on Palm Sunday, and then those few days later when the people were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," they were not accepting their cross. What a cross that they had to be under Roman oppression for years, to know that their Messiah is coming. But it was not in God's providence that their Messiah would be coming to overthrow the Roman government. And so they did not accept their cross. And paradoxically, by not accepting their cross, they were putting Christ to the cross. And this is what we do, my brothers and sisters. We are given a cross. The cross is given to us for our salvation, for our healing, for our purification, for our sanctification. But when we reject that cross, we are the ones saying, "Crucify him." That Christ is the one being crucified instead of myself because I don't want to be crucified. Now, crucifixion is not an enjoyable thing. It's true. Martyrdom is not. But our martyrdom is ultimately a catharsis. It's not simply pain and agony and struggling, but rather it's a healing. Metropolitan Athanasius of Limassol, he gave this beautiful talk, and gave this analogy. He said, the Holy Fathers give an analogy, an example of a snake, how we must put off the old man. When a snake sheds its old skin, it passes through a very narrow opening between rocks, which nearly flattens it. And it does this just to get rid of its old skin and just to have the new skin. It's a demand of its nature. Similarly, a man grieves and is sad, forcing himself to go this narrow path and put off from himself the old man. In this sense, Christ says that he is the way leading to the kingdom of God, the narrow and grievous way. It doesn't mean the Lord wants us to be tortured or become masochists who love to suffer. We have nothing to do with that. We love ourselves. We respect it. We care for it. But the passions are something that we don't want to have. And so, my brothers and sisters, we, on this day, have a choice before us. Will we be those who say, Hosanna to the Son of David? It's easy to do that on the joyful days, like today in the life of our parish. But will we say, Hosanna to the Son of David when we face our own trials? Will we say, Glory to God when our struggles come to us? Will we say, may it be blessed when our cross is there before us, waiting for us to take it up? Because, as I think it was Father Thomas Hopke says, God is conspiring for our salvation. He is conspiring for our salvation. And so if we don't take up that cross, he will keep coming. He will keep inviting us. He will be inviting us through the struggles in our life, saying, come to me. Through this cross, that old man inside of you can die. Don't love the old man anymore. Don't pay heed to the old man's desires. Come with me, and I will make you into a new creation. There's this video that I've been watching recently. It's a Georgian Christ Has Risen hymn. I don't know if any of you have seen this. But there's one that's in English by the Orthodox Virtual Quarantine Choir. On May 20th, 2020 was when this was recorded. Now imagine that. They had just gone through the first Lent and Holy Week of their lives in which they were not in church. And there are all these young men singing together the glory of Christ's resurrection, but you can see in their face the pain as well. There is no resurrection without the cross. This is our problem, is we want resurrection without the cross. We want all the glory, just like those people in Jerusalem, and it wasn't just the people in Jerusalem. What about those sons of thunder, John and James, who came to Christ and said, let us sit on your right and your left in your glory? What about the chief of the apostles, Peter, who when Christ said, I will go up to Jerusalem and be crucified, Peter said, not so. And what did Christ say? Get behind me, Satan. Because this is the temptation that we all face, to say, let's have the resurrection without the cross. And if we are in our weakness, like myself, very focused on the food after the resurrection, this is our way of only focusing on the resurrection and not the crucifixion that brings that about. We don't need to be beating ourselves up over, oh, Christ died on the cross in this like macabre way. But we need to understand you cannot be resurrected unless you're dead. That's a very simple fact. You cannot be resurrected unless you're dead. So we, my brothers and sisters, we must die. We've received our first death in our baptism, but each and every day is a dying, because that old self wants to keep on rising again inside of us. So as we enter into this great and holy week, may God strengthen us for the incredible joy that he gives to us in the midst of sorrow. May we savor these services so that they can renew us and help us to die so that we can resurrect. So that in just a few days we can say Christ is risen. But in the meantime, right now with our anticipation, we can all say together, Kalianastasi.